This is The Takeaway. Thanks so much for listening. Well, you heard a race and political identity discussion earlier in the program. Pretty intense, wouldn't you say? There's political identity, and then there's the story of identity that's told in your genetic fingerprints. We have a lot of identities bound up inside of us. Identity and politics are sharpened when we think about Barack Obama as the first black president. They get blurred when we note that Barack Obama is possibly more correctly called America's mixed-race president. And depending on how you do the mixing, he may not even be the first there. In the Massachusetts Senate race, there's some controversy on Elizabeth Warren's claim of Native American ancestry when she looks white. A few weeks ago, the Brown campaign put out this ad.
Elizabeth Warren is trying to put questions about her heritage behind her.
Warren admitted to identifying herself as Native American to employers.
Something now genealogists have said they have zero evidence of.
Well, we don't want to relitigate the question of Elizabeth Warren's DNA, but if we could carry our complete, authentic genealogy around with us as kind of a barcode, would it help us negotiate some of these identities during a political campaign? Philip Martin, senior reporter for WGBH's Boston Public Radio, has been thinking about ethnicity and racial identity and how they factor into politics. Philip joins us from our partner station, WGBH. Philip, welcome back to the program.
Hey, John, thanks a lot.
So how has this gotten you to think a little differently about things?
Well, put it this way. The Genome Project has made a lot of things possible, but particularly a new focus on family histories and genealogy. And you think about how race and ethnicity have changed over the years. In the 1840s, well into the 20th century, there was a question over who was white, Irish, Italians, Greeks. Some of these groups had to actually petition to be white, and it became part of the political landscape. What's happened recently, of course, is that that political calculus has changed in the sense that the race has always been a social construct. How race and ethnicity is determined now depends on, and quite often, the role of technology. And what hasn't changed, of course, is racial and ethnic pride, which becomes a factor in those determinations.
But you went to professor and historian Henry Louis Gates to get a sense, scientifically speaking, of your racial and ethnic cocktail that lives inside of you, right?
I did. And the reason is that this question that was prompted by Senator Scott Brown's query to Elizabeth Warren about her heritage, her Native American heritage, which she says is part of family lore. He said, you don't look like a Native American. Well, I spoke to Native Americans, and they said there's no such thing. So I went to Gates, Henry Louis Gates, and we used my DNA to explore race, culture, and identity. And this is what he told me about my own background.
All right, Philip, we're going to look at your admixture. And your admixture represents your percentages of African ancestry, European ancestry, and Native American ancestry back 500 years to the time of Columbus. So imagine going back 500 years. If we could see your ideal family tree, 86% of them would be black. 12% of them would be white, and 2% would be Native American.
Wow. So 2%, that's a pretty tantalizing 2% Native American there, huh?
2%, right. But as he said, dating back to the time of Columbus, I think it's important to step back and to look at who we are as a people in this country. And the fact of the matter, as Henry Louis Gates has said, you'll rarely find, especially among African Americans, Native Americans, Latinos, and among white people, people who are purely one thing or another. We are a sum of many things.
Philip Martin, senior investigative reporter at WGBH, Boston Public Radio. Thanks so much.
John, thanks a lot. Take care.